Today on Commuter Bible, the kings and kingdoms of the land grow increasingly chaotic and tumultuous. But in the midst of the chaos, the Lord continues to work and speak through his prophet Elisha. Today's episode contains some particularly gruesome imagery. Parental discretion is advised. It's 2 Kings chapters 6 through 9 and Psalm 87. This is Commuter Bible, the audio Bible podcast to match your weekly schedule. I'm your host, John Ross. On today's episode, things escalate quickly. First, the Aramaeans try to capture Elisha with a huge army, but he defuses them with hospitality. Later, the Aramaeans lay siege to Israel, surrounding Samaria in order to cause a famine, and the people take desperate measures. Elisha prophesies that Hazael, a servant of the king of Aram, will rise to power. He also sends a prophet to anoint Jehu, one of Israel's military commanders, to become king over Israel. Jehu quickly sets his hands to overturn the standing king and avenge the blood of Naboth the Jezreelite. 2 Kings, chapters 6 through 9. The sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "Please notice that the place where we live under your supervision is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan, where we can each get a log and can build ourselves a place to live there." "Go," he said. Then one said, "Please come with your servants." "I'll come," he answered. So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, "Oh, my master, it was borrowed." Then the man of God asked, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, the man of God cut a piece of wood, threw it there, and made the iron float. Then he said, "Pick it up." So he reached out and took it. When the king of Aram was waging war against Israel, he conferred with his servants. "My camp will be at such and such a place." But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Be careful passing by this place, for the Aramaeans are going down there." Consequently, the king of Israel sent word to the place the man of God had told him about. The man of God repeatedly warned the king, so the king would be on his guard. The king of Aram was enraged because of this matter, and he called his servants and demanded of them, "Tell me, which one of us is for the king of Israel?" One of his servants said, "No one, my lord the king. Elisha, the prophet in Israel, tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in your bedroom." So the king said, "Go and see where he is, so I can send men to capture him." When he was told, "Elisha is in Dothan," he sent horses, chariots, and a massive army there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early and went out, he discovered an army with horses and chariots surrounding the city. So he asked Elisha, "Oh, my master, what are we to do?" Elisha said, "Don't be afraid, for those who are with us outnumber those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed, "Lord, please open his eyes and let him see." So the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw that the mountain was covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When the Aramaeans came against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Please strike this nation with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, according to Elisha's word. Then Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will take you to the man you are looking for." And he led them to Samaria. When they entered Samaria, Elisha said, "Lord, open these men's eyes and let them see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw that they were in the middle of Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "Should I kill them? Should I kill them, my father?" Elisha replied, "Don't kill them. Do you kill those you have captured with your sword or your bow? Set food and water in front of them, so they can eat and drink and go to their master." So he prepared a big feast for them. When they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. The Aramean raiders did not come into Israel's land again. Sometime later, King Ben-Hadad of Aram brought all his military units together and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. So there was a severe famine in Samaria, and they continued the siege against it until a donkey's head sold for 34 ounces of silver, and a cup of dove's dung sold for 2 ounces of silver. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him,
"My lord the king, help!"
He answered, "If the Lord doesn't help you, where can I get help for you? From the threshing floor or the wine press?" Then the king asked her, "What's the matter?" She said, "This woman said to me, 'Give up your son and we will eat him today.' Then we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her the next day, 'Give up your son and we will eat him.' But she has hidden her son." When the king heard the woman's words, he tore his clothes. Then, as he was passing by on the wall, the people saw that there was sackcloth under his clothes next to his skin. He announced, "May God punish me, and do so severely, if the head of Elisha, son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today." Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. The king sent a man ahead of him, but before the messengers got to him, Elisha said to the elders, "Do you see how this murderer has sent someone to remove my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door to keep him out. Isn't the sound of his master's feet behind him?" When Elisha was still speaking with them, the messenger came down to him. Then he said, "This disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?" Elisha replied, "Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow at Samaria's gate, 6 quarts of fine flour will sell for 1/2 ounce of silver, and 12 quarts of barley will sell for 1/2 ounce of silver." Then the captain, the king's right-hand man, responded to the man of God,
"Look, even if the Lord were to make windows in heaven, could this really happen?"
Elisha announced, "You will in fact see it with your own eyes, but you won't eat any of it."
Thank you.
Now, four men with a skin disease were at the entrance to the city gate. They said to each other, "Why just sit here until we die? If we say, 'Let's go into the city,' we will die there because the famine is in the city. But if we sit here, we will also die. So now, come on, let's surrender to the Aramaeans' camp. If they let us live, we will live. If they kill us, we will die." So the diseased men got up at twilight to go to the Aramaeans' camp. When they came to the camp's edge, they discovered that no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Aramaean camp to hear the sound of chariots, horses, and a large army. The Arameans had said to each other, "The king of Israel must have hired the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to attack us." So they had gotten up and fled at twilight, abandoning their tents, horses, and donkeys. The camp was intact, and they had fled for their lives. When the diseased men came to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent to eat and drink. Then they picked up the silver, gold, and clothing and went off and hid them. They came back and entered another tent, picked things up, and hid them. Then they said to each other, "We're not doing what is right. Today is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until morning light, our punishment will catch up with us. So let's go tell the king's household." The diseased men came and called to the city's gatekeepers and told them, "We went to the Aramaean camp, and no one was there. No human sounds. There was nothing but tethered horses and donkeys, and the tents were intact." The gatekeepers called out, and the news was reported to the king's household. So the king got up in the night and said to his servants, "Let me tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know we are starving, so they have left the camp to hide in the open country, thinking, 'When they come out to the city, we will take them alive and go into the city.'" But one of his servants responded, "Please, let messengers take five of the horses that are left in the city. Their fate is like the entire Israelite community who will die. So let's send them and see." The messengers took two chariots with horses, and the king sent them after the Aramaean army, saying, "Go and see." So they followed them as far as the Jordan. They saw that the whole way was littered with clothes and equipment the Arameans had thrown off in their haste. The messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the Aramaean camp. It was then that 6 quarts of fine flour sold for 1/2 ounce of silver, and 12 quarts of barley sold for 1/2 ounce of silver, according to the word of the Lord. The king had appointed the captain, his right-hand man, to be in charge of the city gate, but the people trampled him in the gate. He died, just as the man of God had predicted when the king came to him. When the man of God had said to the king, "About this time tomorrow, 12 quarts of barley will sell for 1/2 ounce of silver, and 6 quarts of fine flour will sell for 1/2 ounce of silver at Samaria's gate," this captain had answered the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord were to make windows in heaven, could this really happen?" Elisha had said, "You will in fact see it with your own eyes, but you won't eat any of it." This is what happened to him. The people trampled him in the city gate, and he died. Elisha said to the woman whose son he had restored to life, "Get ready, you and your household, and go live as a resident alien wherever you can. For the Lord has announced a 7-year famine, and it has already come to the land." So the woman got ready and did what the man of God said. She and her household lived as resident aliens in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. when the woman returned from the land of the Philistines at the end of 7 years, she went to appeal to the king for her house and field. The king had been speaking to Gehazi, the attendant of the man of God, saying, "Tell me all the great things Elisha has done." While he was telling the king how Elisha restored the dead son to life, the woman whose son he had restored to life came to appeal to the king for her house and field. So Gehazi said,
"My lord the king, this is the woman and this is the son Elisha restored to life."
When the king asked the woman, she told him the story. So the king appointed a court official for her, saying,
"Restore all that was hers, along with all the income from the field from the day she left the country until now."
Elisha came to Damascus while King Ben-Hadad of Aram was sick. And the king was told, "The man of God has come here." So the king said to Hazael,
"Take a gift with you and go meet the man of God. Inquire of the Lord through him. Will I recover from this sickness?"
Hazael went to meet Elisha, taking with him a gift, 40 camel loads of all the finest products of Damascus. When he came and stood before him, he said,
"Your son, King Ben-Hadad of Aram, has sent me to ask you, 'Will I recover from this sickness?'"
Elisha told him, "Go say to him, 'You are sure to recover, but the Lord has shown me that he is sure to die.'" Then he stared steadily at him until he was ashamed. The man of God wept. And Hazael asked,
"Why is my Lord weeping?"
He replied,
"Because I know the evil you will do to the people of Israel. You will set their fortresses on fire. You will kill their young men with the sword. You will dash their children to pieces. You will rip open their pregnant women."
Hazael said, "How could your servant, a mere dog, do such a mighty deed?"
Elisha answered,
"The Lord has shown me that you will be king over Aram."
Hazael left Elisha and went to his master, who asked him,
"What did Elisha say to you?"
He responded, "He told me, 'You are sure to recover.'" The next day, Hazael took a heavy cloth, dipped it in water, and spread it over the king's face. Ben-Hadad died, and Hazael reigned in his place. In the 5th year of Israel's king Joram, son of Ahab, Jehoram, son of Jehoshaphat, became king of Judah, replacing his father. He was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, as the house of Ahab had done, for Ahab's daughter was his wife. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight. For the sake of his servant David, the Lord was unwilling to destroy Judah, since he had promised to give a lamp to David and his sons forever. During Jehoram's reign, Edom rebelled against Judah's control and appointed their own king. So Jehoram crossed over to Zair with all his chariots. Then, at night, he set out to attack the Edomites, who had surrounded him and the chariot commanders. But his troops fled to their tents. So Edom is still in rebellion against Judah's control today. Libna also rebelled at that time. The rest of the events of Jehoram's reign, along with all his accomplishments, are written in the historical record of Judah's kings. Jehoram rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and his son Ahaziah became king in his place. 12th year of Israel's King Joram of Ahab, Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, became king of Judah. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, granddaughter of Israel's king Omri. He walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, and did what was evil in the Lord's sight, like the house of Ahab, for his father had married into the house of Ahab. Ahaziah went with Joram son of Ahab to fight against King Hazael of Aram in Ramoth-Gilead, and the Arameans wounded Joram. So King Joram returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds that the Arameans had inflicted on him in Ramoth-Gilead when he fought against Aram's King Hazael. Then Judah's King Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, went down to Jezreel to visit Joram, son of Ahab, since Joram was ill. The prophet Elisha called one of the sons of the prophets and said, "Tuck your mantle under your belt. Take this flask of oil with you and go to Ramoth-Gilead. When you get there, look for Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, son of Nimshi. Go in, get him away from his colleagues, and take him to an inner room. Then take the flask of oil, pour it on his head, and say, 'This is what the Lord says. I anoint you king over Israel.' Open the door and escape. Don't wait." So the young prophet went to Ramoth-Gilead. When he arrived, the army commanders were sitting there. So he said, "I have a message for you, commander." Jehu asked,
"For which one of us?"
He answered, "For you, commander." So Jehu got up and went into the house. The young prophet poured the oil on his head and said, "This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I anoint you king over the Lord's people, Israel. You are to strike down the house of your master Ahab, so that I may avenge the blood shed by the hand of Jezebel, the blood of my servants, the prophets, and of all the servants of the Lord. The whole house of Ahab will perish, and I will wipe out all of Ahab's males, both slave and free, in Israel. I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, son of Ahijah. The dogs will eat Jezebel in the plot of land at Jezreel. No one will bury her." Then the young prophet opened the door and escaped. When Jehu came out to his master's servants, they asked,
"Is everything all right? Why did this crazy person come to you?"
Then he said to them,
"You know the sort and they're ranting."
But they replied,
"That's a lie. Tell us."
So Jehu said,
"He talked to me about this and that and said, 'This is what the Lord says. I anoint you king over Israel.'"
Each man quickly took his garment and put it under Jehu on the bare steps. They blew the ram's horn and proclaimed, "Jehu is king." Then Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Joram and all Israel had been at Ramoth-Gilead on guard against King Hazael of Aram. But King Joram had returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds that the Arameans had inflicted on him when he fought against Aram's King Hazael. Jehu said,
"If you commanders wish to make me king, then don't let anyone escape from the city to go tell about it in Jezreel."
Jehu got into his chariot and went to Jezreel, since Joram was laid up there, and King Ahaziah of Judah had gone down to visit Joram. Now the watchman was standing on the tower in Jezreel. He saw Jehu's mob approaching and shouted,
"I see a mob!"
Joram responded,
"Choose a rider."
and tell him to meet them and have him ask, 'Do you come in peace?'
So a horseman went to meet Jehu and said, 'This is what the king asks. Do you come in peace?' Jehu replied,
'What do you have to do with peace? Fall in behind me.'
The watchman reported,
'The messenger reached them, but hasn't started back.'
So he sent out a second horseman, who went to them and said, 'This is what the king asks. Do you come in peace?' Jehu answered,
'What do you have to do with peace? Fall in behind me.'
Again, the watchman reported,
'He reached them, but hasn't started back. Also, the driving is like that of Jehu, son of Nimshi. He drives like a madman.' 'Get the chariot ready,' Joram shouted.
And they got it ready. The king Joram of Israel and king Ahaziah of Judah set out, each in his own chariot, and met Jehu at the plot of land of Naboth the Jezreelite. When Joram saw Jehu, he asked,
'Do you come in peace, Jehu?'
He answered,
'What peace can there be as long as there is so much prostitution and sorcery from your mother Jezebel?'
Joram turned around and fled, shouting to Ahaziah,
'It's treachery, Ahaziah!'
Then Jehu drew his bow and shot Joram between the shoulders. The arrow went through his heart, and he slumped down in his chariot. Jehu said to Bidkar, his aide,
'Pick him up and throw him on the plot of ground belonging to Naboth the Jezreelite. For remember when you and I were riding side by side behind his father Ahab, and the Lord uttered this pronouncement against him: As surely as I saw the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons yesterday, this is the Lord's declaration, so will I repay you on this plot of land. This is the Lord's declaration. So now, according to the word of the Lord, pick him up and throw him on the plot of land.'
When King Ahaziah of Judah saw what was happening, he fled up the road toward Beth-Hagon. Jehu pursued him, shouting,
'Shoot him too!'
So they shot him in his chariot at Gur Pass near Ibleam, but he fled to Megiddo and died there. Then his servants carried him to Jerusalem in a chariot and buried him in his father's tomb in the city of David. It was in the 11th year of Joram, son of Ahab, that Ahaziah had become king over Judah. When Jehu came to Jezreel, Jezebel heard about it. So she painted her eyes, fixed her hair, and looked down from the window. As Jehu entered the city gate, she said, 'Do you come in peace, Zimri, killer of your master?' He looked up toward the window and said,
'Who is on my side? Who?'
Two or three eunuchs looked down at him, and he said,
'Throw her down!'
So they threw her down, and some of her blood splattered on the wall and on the horses. And Jehu rode over her. Then he went in, ate and drank, and said, 'Take care of this cursed woman and bury her, since she's a king's daughter.' But when they went out to bury her, they did not find anything but the skull, the feet, and the hands. So they went back and told him, and he said,
'This fulfills the Lord's word that he spoke through his servant Elijah the Tishbite. In the plot of land at Jezreel, the dogs will eat Jezebel's flesh. Jezebel's corpse will be like manure on the surface of the ground in the plot of land at Jezreel, so that no one will be able to say, "This is Jezebel."'"
Psalm 87. The city he founded is on the holy mountains. The Lord loves Zion's gates more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are said about you, city of God. I will make a record of those who know me, Rahab, Babylon, Philistia, Tyre, and Cush. Each one was born there. And it will be said of Zion, this one and that one were born in her. The Most High himself will establish her. When he registers the peoples, the Lord will record, this one was born there. Singers and dancers alike will say, my whole source of joy is in you. So if you listen to this section regularly, you know that I am a pastor full-time and that I'm making this podcast on the side. I would love for your help in telling other people about this podcast. Not for my benefit, but so that the Word of God could be living and active in the hearts and minds of people all across America and actually all across the world. I think about 15% of our audience is in China. Listen, if you go on Facebook or if you just tell a friend about it, I would love your help in spreading the word. Today's episode was narrated and orchestrated by me, John Ross, and co-produced by Eric Williamson. Thanks for listening, and remember, happy is the one whose delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night.